This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
And off we go, ladies and gentlemen, our number three.
Wow, that's kind of a subdued. Where's your energy?
Oh, the energy level's fine. The vocal cords are fried, all right? You're getting sexy sports talk with Rob Brown this morning. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the sexiest sports show on the radio. You stay sexy. I am Rob Brown, he is Lonzo, and we are happy to be here. Now, I ain't doing that, but I did the yelling thing about halfway through the last hour, and immediate regret.
Yeah, I'm not getting the music because I don't think you're doing the sexy voice. It's too phlegmy. I mean, it's just there's something in there that needs to be loosened up. And no,
it ain't great. No. It ain't great, but you know what? We're getting through it. We're rolling through it. We're having a grand time. All right, we got a lot we got to get to, a lot we got to talk about on the radio show today, a lot we're going to continue to break down, and even if we're not doing it max volume, we're doing it at like 79.5%, and that's pretty good on a Monday. You're welcome. All right, let's get some stuff in here, shall we? It's the Audio Blitz, the best audio we have found since the last time we did the Audio Blitz, and I'm not going to lie. The ghost of Ray is going to be real unhappy because we got some not sports stuff in here today. But, you know, it's the best sound, not the best sports sound. Let's start with this. Let's go with, you know what? Let's start with a sports one. Here's Steve Kerr, who has had some interesting comments about the National Basketball Association in the last few days, including this one. Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
How much was that worth, his comments?
I don't know. We'll find out. Sometimes the world needs heroes. And if you're a superhero comic book guy, movie guy, if you're a nerd like us, you understand that one of the most common tropes that is written into any superhero story is what? It's sacrifice. It's a sacrifice you must make in order to be a hero. I don't know how much Steve Kerr is going to get fined for continuing to have these conversations. I know it ain't zero. Maybe that's the sacrifice we need. Maybe Steve Kerr is going to step up, fork over a few millions of dollars in order to get there, and it's just going to be the hero that we need. Or maybe the NBA is going to go, buddy, the ratings are going up. Like, we're good. We're making money hand over fist. We're good, buddy.
I'm surprised you keep talking about sacrifice and you haven't sang Creed yet.
I can't do it justice right now.
Wow.
I know. Listen, if I'm going to... Hey, there's a lot of covers I'll do right now. I'm not going to insult the legendary Scott Stapp like that. I'm better than that.
So if we have something a little low-key, like some Barry White or something, you'll give that a go?
Hello, ladies. We'll see. We'll see. Hey, Andre Whitworth has
By the way, just really quick, he's right. There is too much traveling in the NBA.
I completely agree. Hence the maybe Steve Kerr is the hero we need. Not the one we deserve. The one we need. We'll find out. Andre Whitworth has embraced the second half of his career as a broadcaster. Obviously, he is one of the staples on the Thursday night football broadcast on Amazon Prime. He also does a podcast with Ryan Fitzmagic Fitzpatrick, where they talk a lot of football, but also a lot of other stuff. Andre Whitworth was a very, is still a very large person. But as a football player, was a very large person. He also is a person, likes love and affection, like the rest of us. So Andre Whitworth dated people for a long time. Well, here, he's telling Ryan Fitzmagic about what setting up and getting ready for a date as an offensive lineman in the National Football League felt like. We were going to sweat, we were going to eat, and we were going to have a good time. The Rob Brown story. My man said, I used to hit the bell. And by the way, I will acknowledge, same as Whitworth, I'm not a McDonald's guy, I'm a Taco Bell guy first. If those two are next to each other getting off the interstate on a little little travel break, and I need to grab something, I'm running for the... And this is not a disparagement towards the Arches. I just prefer the Bell.
By the way, I love the Taco Bell also, but I, you know, in these circumstances that he's discussing, he's going to the girl's family's house to eat. Do you want the repercussions from Taco Bell to hit you while you're there?
You know, somebody else asked that the other day, and I have a genuine question. How fast does Taco Bell run through y'all?
By the way, all that stuff I think is a myth. I'm talking about just gas. I'm not talking about...
So am I.
Yeah, yeah.
How fast is this stuff flowing through your gut?
Dude, you can't...
Because, I eat it, but it's like the next day before it creeps up on me.
You can't eat three bean burritos and it not hit you, in an hour?
Yes, correct.
Okay, well, that's an amazing metabolism.
Yeah. How fast is the bean ramification impacting your life that you're like, uh-oh, I may have to talk to somebody in the next 2 hours. I better not eat a bean burrito now. Or is maybe there's just something wrong with me?
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. It's coming the next day.
It's you. I mean, there are certain restaurants they're going to give you gas. The thing, you're going to have diarrhea if you eat. Yeah, I don't believe that. But I do know it's Mexican food. It's going to give you gas. It just is.
I don't believe
Beano works, by the way.
Speaking of Taco Bell, give credit to the Bell because last week they had Zoe a full sale, all out presentation. And when I say, I want you to think what's that big con they do where they debut the video games for the next year? I can't remember the name of it.
E3?
Yes.
Exist anymore.
Okay, whatever that was.
Thank you for bringing sadness into my life.
They did that, but for new Taco Bell menu items. Dude, now let me set the scene for you before I talk about this absolute beauty of an ingenuitive food item soon to be available to make all of our lives better. First off, the dude giving this presentation, and they have multiple presenters to present new Taco Bell menu items, up on a stage, big-ass video wall behind him, and as he's giving this speech, and he's got the fancy headset mic, but it only comes to a little bit out of your face, like that high-tech style mic, he's up there, and this man's walking around like he's about to give a Tony Robbins speech about Taco Bell. He's just marching back and forth. And then when it's time, he points to the screen and whang, it shows up on the video screen. They are making a taco shell, but the taco shell is not going to be coated in cheese, dusted in cheese, melted with cheese. No. The Taco Bell shell is cheese. This is cutting edge innovation from the Bell. This is top-notch stuff from the Bell.
Is it? Because they've already been... I thought the innovation was when they did it with Doritos. I mean,
that was a taco shell dusted with Dorito dust, which, by the way,
still good.
Huge fan.
Yeah, still really good.
Huge fan.
Regular, not the other. The Cool Ranch, you're a weirdo.
I love Cool Ranch.
Yeah, we know.
I'll take the nacho cheese. I'll take the Cool Ranch. I just love a Dorito. It's just a big Dorito.
All right, I'm looking at the
serving as a taco.
It was a cheesy gordita, right? Isn't that what you said?
Yeah, but that was, again, that was a regular burrito. They just loaded it with cheese. The shell is made of baked cheese.
I wonder if we're going to be able to tell. Will we be able to taste the cheddar in the shell? That's what I want to know.
First off.
And I said, will we? Because we are going to try it, of course.
Try it? I may be first in line at the Bell to eat it, okay? I might be the first guy in. I may take off that day from the show to be at the Bell when they open up in the AM. Give me one of them taco shells made of cheese. Please and thank you. That sounds incredible. This is cutting edge stuff. Diamond Dallas Page is a professional wrestler. I guess was a professional wrestler. I guess once you're, it's like the Marines. Once a pro wrestler, always a pro wrestler.
He is recognized for that and one other thing.
DDP, bang, is also the founder, manager, owner, operator, whatever, of DDP Yoga, which has helped many a professional athlete who has struggled after their career get back on track. One of them being the legendary Jake the Snake Roberts. Well, Jake and DDP are now friends. It's come full circle. They used to be roommates back in the day when they were making their way up the ranks. Now, because Jake had some health issues and whatnot, he got with DDP. DDP Yoga, effectively, he says, saved his life, which I think is great. They got together on the Undertaker's podcast the other day. Dude lost.
Hold on. Don't bury the headline there. Jake the Snake Roberts is afraid of snakes. That's what he just said.
Oh, I was.
My childhood is a lie.
Dude says, DDP says, I got off the phone. And Jake the Snake Roberts, known for, and this may shock you, the snakes. Jake the Snake Roberts said, we got big problems. What's the problem? I lost the snake. A 12-foot cobra. I lost the snake. And they said, we were peering into the bathroom like a pair of little rascals trying to see if they could see an advantageous situation, just two heads sticking through the door crack, looking for a 12-foot-long snake that got lost in the apartment. Said it was under the vanity. I'll come out. I'm out. And just left DDP. Hey, you got this. If anything comes up, holler at me. But I'm gone. That's incredible. But yes, the headline of that particular story is that Jake the Snake Roberts, again, known for bringing snakes to the ring and occasionally letting them bite other people, is afraid of snakes.
So the snake was kayfabe. Really? I am devastated today.
I know. I heard that, and I'm like,
I'm gonna have to go down the hall and talk to some other people who are big fans of Jake the Snake and see what they think about this.
Listen, I'm a big Jake the Snake guy. I've told the story before. Jake the Snake was at SC Comic Con a couple of years ago. He is one of like three people that I have said, you know what? I'm not asking for special permission. I am buying a ticket and making sure I meet this guy. And I got to meet Jake the Snake as a childhood hero. Jake the Snake has my favorite picture I've ever taken with a celebrity. I printed it out. It's hanging at my house. I was taking a picture with Jake the Snake. And if you're a fight fan, when you take the picture with a boxer, a wrestler, MMA guy, Lonzo, we all do the same pose. You put the fist up, right? You put the fist up in front of you. Jake the Snake, I put the fist up, and he puts the fist up, and he goes, you want to make this better? And I went, yeah, of course I do. And he just hammers out a middle finger at the camera. And he goes, y'all will never forget this picture. And I'm like, you're right! And I threw the bird up so hard, I about sprained my middle finger. My favorite celebrity picture of all time in my career, of which I have a pretty good list, because I'm not an autograph guy. I'm a picture guy. I'm not an autograph guy. I'd rather have a picture of me with this person. My favorite one in my 17-plus year career is standing next to a childhood hero, Jake the Snake Roberts, and both of us just hammering out a middle finger right at the camera. If you come to the crib on the 75-inch in the Bro Cave, it rotates through pictures off my phone as like a screensaver. That one is on that list. My mom's like, what if other people come in here and see it? Great! Are you kidding me? I want people to see a picture of me and Jake the Snake Roberts flipping the bird together. And then I find out that Jake's afraid of the snakes. If and when Jake the Snake Roberts comes back to SE Comic Con, you know I have to ask him about this. Hey, man, I got to tell you, it's a little it's a little interesting. Jay, Texter says, that's been known for years about Jake the Snake, multiple stories. I know, but like all of those, I was kind of like, because those were always like wrestling stories.
How have I never heard that before? Or did I just forget? I don't think I forgot. I think I would remember that.
For some reason, that's one that just like, it just jumped out at me. All right, I got more. We'll play you more. We'll get to more. We'll keep talking about more on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. I talked earlier in the show about the fact that if I'm Josh Allen, I'm also not giving the Bills a discount. Not at all. And I'm not giving the Bills a discount because I do not feel like the Bills have invested properly to take a guy that I genuinely believe is a generational quarterback and give him the best opportunity to win. And he has still continued to win anyway. The Bills have won anyway. I don't think it... I'll open it up for discussion. Does anybody think that the Buffalo Bills have maximized their potential or come close to it in the last couple of years? I don't. And again, that is a weird thing to say for a team that's been to multiple AFC championship games, has been to the playoffs five consecutive seasons, has won the division five. It's a weird thing to say about that team. But I really do believe that they are not reaching their maximum potential with Josh Allen. So if I'm Josh Allen, why would I take $50 million fewer and give it back to an organization that, as far as I'm concerned, hasn't proved that they're worth it? And the example that I used of a team creatively finding new ways to not take advantage of a situation that they're in is the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals have bungled the career of Joe Burrow so far. Now, Joey B is like the only AFC quarterback with a win over Patrick Mahomes, so there's something to be said for him. But I'm watching the way the Bengals are operating right now. And when Friday rolled around, we got off the air. And when Friday rolled around, news about Trey Hendrickson came to the forefront. The news was that the Cincinnati Bengals have given Trey Hendrickson permission to seek a trade partner, which is absolutely wild to me. I went off on this team on Saturday because of that. So did Mark Schlereth. Yeah.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, he hit him with the, and I couldn't agree more. I saw Trey Hendrickson has been given permission to seek a trade, and I went, wait a gosh darn second here. Let me get this right. What you are telling me is that you're looking at a team that missed the playoffs last year with a quarterback who bumped up against 5,000 yards, with a quarterback who was inside the top three in touchdowns. Actually, I think he led the league in touchdowns last year. You're telling me with the offensive output that Joe Burrow and this team managed last year and the knowledge that Sam Hubbard was stepping away, you're going to let probably the only guy on that defense that actually performed walk. That's where you are. You're going, and here's, if there were stories coming out that Trey Hendrickson was unhappy, that he had been getting into fights, that he'd been butting heads with the defensive coordinator, if any of these things were out there, then like maybe you could benefit of the doubt it, right? Like maybe I could look and go, all right, like stinks, but if he doesn't want to be there and he's not gonna perform as if he wants to be there, then yeah, that makes sense. But there is none of that. That's not, by all accounts, Trey Hendrickson was perfectly happy in Cincinnati, despite that being what I would label a failure of a football team last year. The guy didn't not want to be there, but basically they didn't want to pay him. They thought that money, and don't get me wrong, I understand that, because what they're trying to do is give Joey Ice Ice Baby all the weapons that he wants on the outside. We tagged T. Higgins. We're keeping Jamar Chase. We got you a tight end. We got you a running back who can catch. We got all these different weapons around you for you to go out there and get 5,000 yards and throw for 36 touchdowns and, you know, just a couple of picks, not much. Like, we gave you a lot to be an absolute dog. The problem is, the Bengals go out and score 42, but they give up 45. This team did not lose because of offense. This team lost because they couldn't stop a soul last year. And when they couldn't stop a soul last year, you created this vortex of oddities where now your offensive guys are unhappy because they're busting their butts and doing their jobs, and the defense is letting them down every week. And up for renewal comes a defensive end who has, since he got traded there from my New Orleans Saints, oh yeah, by the way, at the same time that we let Zach Bond go up to Philly and he's become a Pro Bowler who just got a gazillion-dollar contract. Since he got up there to Cincy from New Orleans, the guy has been, from what I've heard and what I have read, just a paramount professional. The epitome of professionalism. Plays hard, works hard, goes hard, motor guy, never gives up. 17 sacks, 14 sacks consistently. Sets the edge as well as anybody in the National Football League. Very few quarterbacks are rolling out across the face of Trey Hendrickson. The guy is probably the best defensive end in the league that nobody talks about. We talk about Crosby. We talk about Myles Garrett. I would put Trey Hendrickson right there in the back pocket of that discussion. Trey Hendrickson, I'll tell you how good Trey Hendrickson is. Trey Hendrickson, when I give the reasons that I want Mickey Loomis gone, Trey Hendrickson is one of them. Because I saw this when he was in New Orleans. I'm like, that cat's going to be good. That cat, and we gave up on him after like 2 years, one of which he was banged up and injured. I'm like, don't let go of that guy. We let him go for nothing. Goes to Cincinnati, turns into everything I said he was going to turn into. Unbelievable. Guy's great. And here come the Bengals, who have an offense. And by the way, they're not really improving it, right? They tagged T. Higgins again. Yeah, they found a way to keep Jamar Chase, and that's great. Do any of us believe for a second that this offense is not going to split at the seams next year? At this point, it's all but assured. I don't think T. Higgins is going to be like super thrilled about coming back to a team that has now not once but twice tagged him, which effectively says, like, we believe in you, but like not enough to make you, you know, the number one paid wide receiver. We'll make you number three, not even number three guarantee. We'll make you the average of the top five, wherever that lands you. He's not going to want to come back. If you're Jamar, you're going, dude, I'm one of the best three receivers in the league. I ain't won a damn thing. Like, I don't know if I want to be here. Hell, at this point, I'm not convinced Joe Burrow is going to be good with staying there for a long time. Like, this team is just finding impressive ways to not work. This cat wanted to stay there, was playing Pro Bowl caliber defensive end. And by the way, I think there has been a shift in the NFL. Defensive ends are where it's at now, right? Like, it used to be linebackers. It used to be inside run stuffers. The focus on NFL defenses is defensive ends now, and it has to be. Quarterbacks are more mobile. They're more agile. They're faster than they've ever been. Quarterbacks are increasingly getting better at getting outside of the pocket to extend plays and still be able to deliver the football. In years gone by, you had a lot of quarterbacks that get to the outside, but they weren't guys that could get to the outside and still be trusted to drop a dime on a defense. They were running quarterbacks. They ran. And so in spots like that, you could just play a zone on the outside and tell whatever outside cornerback, hey, yo, if the quarterback rolls to you, you step forward and stop him. Safety is going to be in a cover two. He'll step up to the zone you vacated. And now we got, effectively, we're playing a cover two, but it's a cover one. Whatever side he rolls to, corner steps up, safety moves to that spot, over the top safety fills to the middle. That's the way this works. And it worked. But you can't really do that anymore. Can't do that anymore because now guys like Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, they can get outside the tackles and still drop a dime on the run. So now my cornerback has to stay in coverage. My safeties have to stay in coverage, which means if that quarterback gets to the outside, I'd rather give him five or six on the run than attack the run and have him throw for 15, 16, 17. This is why defensive ends are getting paid what they are. This is why Max Crosby for 4 days was the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL. This is why Myles Garrett took that title away from him 4 days later. And at a point in time where defensive ends are resetting the market, not for themselves, but for entire defenses, Cincinnati had one of the best four or five in the game, and they just let him walk. Cincinnati? That's it. This is, I said earlier, Devontae Adams was my favorite NFL move from the weekend, going to the Rams. Trey Hendrickson being allowed to walk from Cincinnati is my least favorite. You took a defense that cost you a playoff run with a damn near 5,000-yard quarterback last year, and you just got markedly worse. Good luck, Bengals fans. Hope you have fun next year because you're not going to the playoffs next year either. John Blau covers the Clemson Tiger Athletic Department for the Post and Courier. He joins us on the flip side. We'll set you up for the ACC basketball tournament. Check in with the baseball team as they open conference play here in just a few days. All that and more coming up with John Blau next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate, Rob Brown. The great one, Lonzo, and you. Join us here on the show, 844-326-3663. Shoot us a text. We'll read them on the air. Final hour belongs to you, but not this segment, because this segment belongs to John Blau, a young man who covers the Clemson Athletic Department for the Post and Courier. Kind enough to join us every Monday at 8:40 to talk some Tiger Athletics. This Monday, no different. John Blau, welcome back, fella. How we doing?
I'm good. How are you, Rob?
I'm very well. Got nice and rested, relaxed, dope over the weekend as we watched the men's college basketball season conclude its regular season. I will tell you this, John, and then I'm going to get to some of the X's and O's of Clemson win this weekend. Good little run put together at the end of the year. I host on the BetMGM Network, a big network that Odyssey is a part of, a show on Saturdays that is a sports talk gambling show. And I have been asked a number of times across that network and on my own show to give a team that I think is a dog as a Final Four pick, a surprise bet, team nobody's really talked about. And I have found that over the past 3 weeks, John Blau, Clemson has become not just an answer I have given out, but an answer that I have heard other bracketologists start to talk about as a team that very few people were paying attention to 4, 5, 6 weeks ago. And now they're becoming kind of a sneaky dog pick for a lot of folks. Have you heard the same thing? And do you think this is Clemson getting the respect that they've been due?
Yeah, I think I've seen a couple tweets on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it. I've seen the talk a little bit, but I mean, it makes sense. Obviously the ACC, not a great league this year, but you know, Clemson goes 18-2 in that league and 15 of those wins are by double digits. So they were dominant throughout that stretch. Obviously beat Duke. They've beaten Kentucky. They've beaten some really good teams. Like, they've showed everybody that when they play their best, when all those pieces are clicking and they're hitting enough shots, they're you know, as good as anybody in the country. Obviously, I wouldn't say the scoring potential of this team is the same as last year when he had Hall and Gerard. I mean, it's a little bit of a different team. They have to play pretty good defense. They have to, some things have to go right for them. Obviously, Victor Walking can't get in foul trouble. There's a bunch of things that kind of are caveats there. But again, when they're playing well, when Locken's playing well, when Jaden Zachary's hit some shots, when Chase Hunter's having a good day, Ian Sheflin now being healthy, they absolutely have an ability to make a run. So, the dog picks make sense.
It has been interesting to watch this team start to get, I think, the respect that has been earned. I think that, and I don't mean to, this isn't meant to be disrespectful, John Blau. I don't think it should be taken that way. It's not a team that when you watch necessarily looks like the flashiest team, the most overtly athletic team. You and I have kind of talked in the past about, and Sheflin just looks like a dude, just like a dude you'd see out on the street. But then the ball gets tipped and Ann Sheflin becomes an absolute hustle monster that is putting up numbers like a superstar in this league. I think this team got slept on. I think by people in this area, this team got slept on because the assumption was losing the guys you lost from last year, didn't really feel like there was a frontline guarantee, bona fide superstar on the top of the marquee this year. And yet, Brad Brunell has just kept this team digging and digging and digging. Now they come into the ACC tournament inside of a bye spot. I think he deserves a lot of respect, and I think the boys on the team deserve a lot of respect because there was never a point, at least it feels like to me on the outside looking in, John, never a point where some of the outside perception influenced them. They just kind of kept grinding, and that to me feels like the mark of a championship team.
Yeah, I mean, it's a veteran team. I mean, again, Chase Hunter's a sixth-year guy. Zachary, his fifth or sixth year, I forget, he did JUCO, so he's been a million different places. Locking a fifth-year guy. Just a really experienced basketball team who obviously, again, people from the outside might have looked down on them or not thought, again, they didn't have a P.J. Hall, they didn't have a Joe Girard, but they obviously had faith and confidence in themselves. And like you said, with Brad Brunell, he deserves a lot of credit. He's able to find these guys who fit perfectly. They may not be, again, the flashy P.J. Hall type who could hit a million threes and then, you know, dunk hard on the inside, but you know, Victor Locken, for instance, again, I just remember him at the beginning of the year, like, this guy's not quite the athlete PJ was, you know, he seems okay, you know, but then obviously he has the games he had against UNC and Duke. I think Dabo Swinney said it the other day, it's like, people just don't know what the heck to do with this guy. I mean, he's really long-limbed. He finds ways to finish inside. He's become a better three-point shooter. Brad Brunell identified that. It kind of took that guy's game to another level. So, again, veteran team. I think they're not impressed with themselves. They're focused, and they have a good mentality, you think, the way they're playing basketball right now going into this ACC tournament, a chance to kind of improve their seed and then improve their chances in the NCAA tournament.
Talk to me about this ACC tournament. Obviously, we kind of had to wait through the weekend to figure out who was going to be in what slot, what seed, and all that. But we knew this team was going to be a top three seed. We knew that this team was going to catch at least a bye. We knew that this team was going to, at least felt like, have a pretty good run through the bracket. Based on the way it shook up, based on what these seedings look like now, how do you feel Clemson's look in the tournament is, and more importantly, how important do you feel like a good run through the tournament will be, whether it's for seeding or just building up momentum or what?
Yeah, it's an interesting draw that they have. I think it's basically, obviously, with the double bye, they can play either Florida State, Syracuse, or SMU. And I do think SMU is a difficult team. I know, obviously, Clemson beat them on the road, but they didn't have Boopie Miller that game. I think they have Boopie Miller back now. I mean, that makes their team a lot better. And so that's going to be an interesting first obstacle, probably, if SMU makes it like you think they would. And then Louisville is the next team, probably. And so, obviously, Louisville, you lost to them pretty handily on the road. Obviously, Pat Kelsey, the former College of Charleston coach, has done an excellent job of building that program back up. So it's not going to be easy. And then, obviously, on the other side of the bracket is probably Duke. You have to play again in an ACC title game. So it's not an easy road at all for Clemson. And obviously, Clemson has not had a ton of success up at the ACC tournament. So they have to kind of flip the script there. But right now it looks like, I think bracketologists have Clemson around a 5 seed, even though, you know, we talk about maybe their ability to make a run in the tournament, maybe being overlooked by some people. They could maybe improve that to a 4. I know there's some people that are really optimistic and think maybe a 3. I would think you'd have to win the ACC title game and beat Duke again to get a 3. But, I would say a 4 is absolutely realistic with a decent run. If you bomb out, I still think you're a 5. There is that top end potential to get to a 4 or 3, which improves your odds in the first round of the NCAA tournament, because there aren't as many of those upsets as there are that 5 and 12 line.
I don't disagree. In fact, I was talking on Friday's show, John, and obviously bracketology, Lenardi does a real good job, but nothing's set in stone until it's set in stone. When Clemson was hanging out around that 5 seed mark on Friday, they were out in Providence, and I looked at the 4 teams. They were bracketed in with the regional, and it was like, oh, that's a murderer's row of teams, including a 5-12 matchup that at the time looked real bad. I'm looking at the bracketology now. He's actually bumped them up to the 4th seed. They would open with Lipscomb, and then they got Oregon and Liberty. Oregon's a good little team out of the Pac-12, but there's a lot of other 5s that scare me, a lot of other 4s that scare me, that I'm glad if it stuck this way, it would be a trip all the way out to Seattle. But I think your point stands that with a run through the tournament, jumping up to a 3 seed, not only would you end up with a better bracket built around you, you'd also get to probably play a little bit closer to home. And there's been a lot of good teams that have had to travel to the other side of the country, and it has an impact.
Yeah, in Oregon, just correction, they're Big Ten now, just because.
No, that's, yeah, Big Ten, I'll get used to it eventually. I called them the Oakland Raiders earlier, John. It's going to take a minute.
No problem. But yeah, like you're saying, having to go all the way out to the West Coast, do something ginky like that. I mean, it would be much nicer for them if they were able to keep it kind of in this region in the Southeast. I mean, obviously, there's a spot in Raleigh. I don't know if they put them in Raleigh, but, I mean, there's – you know, obviously advantages to being as close to home as you can be, higher seed, like you're saying. You play one of those, you know, teams from a smaller conference. Obviously, every year somebody gets beat. Talk about Oakland. Think about them last year against Kentucky. I mean, there's always somebody comes out one of the smaller conferences and beats an SEC, ACC, Big Ten team. And so you can't, you know, take it for granted. But like you're saying, if you end up with that 4 seed, maybe even a 3 seed, usually maybe some of those other teams in your bracket, you feel like you have a better shot again. So it'll be interesting to see. Again, the ACC tournament has not been a place where Clemson has thrived for a while. I forget when the last time they've been to an ACC title game was. I think it might have been 2008. It's been a while, and so it'll be interesting to see how Clemson fares this weekend.
Let's talk baseball for just a couple of minutes. John Blau from the Post and Courier joining us here on the radio program. A 3-game sweep over South Carolina was a big accomplishment. Obviously picked up a shutout win over SC Upstate, big win over Presbyterian, and then a 3-game sweep over Davidson. You got a couple with Liberty, and then we saw a conference play against Notre Dame on Friday. John Blau, talk to me a little bit about where this baseball team is. I mean, it's not just a 3-game win over Davidson, but a 7-inning blowout on Saturday, threatened the same on Sunday before I think the accelerator got moved back a little bit. Right now, Clemson baseball to me feels as good, as competitive as anybody in the country.
Yeah, I mean, they're 15-1, so obviously one bad game against Ole Miss, and that's it. There has been a little bit of a struggle with the bats early in games. I mean, sometimes, I think against Davidson on Sunday, they were down. There's 3-0 or 4-0, really had to come back in those middle to late innings, but that's a resilient team and obviously a good baseball team that takes pitches and gets to the bullpen and figures out ways to really, you know, blow them out late. And so still waiting to see kind of the lineup, the order, kind of clicking on all cylinders. A couple guys that are still, you know, slumping a little bit, like a Colin Priest and a Luke Gaffney. A couple of those transfers really haven't picked it up yet. But to see Cam Cannarello with a 3-run blast to kind of help put them ahead of Davidson and you know, then take off Dominic Listy at the top of the lineup. Jerem Purifoy has really taken a star turn. I mean, they have a bunch of guys, a bunch of dudes, and I think obviously the biggest positive for Clemson has been the pitching staff, just how good it's been this year, considering maybe there's a little bit of a question mark with Dane Moeller, the freshman. They thought might be a weekend guy being out for the year. You know, Ethan Darden's been great. Justin Lagernick had a little bit of a shakier outing yesterday, but has been, for the most part, good. So, yeah, been pretty good start for Clemson. We'll see if they can keep it rolling.
Talk to me real quick, if you don't mind, John Blau, about Cam Cannarello, how big he's going to be for this team. I did a college baseball preseason preview over on my other network, my other show, Big Baseball Show, and we were going through some guys that should theoretically be in that player of the year discussion at the end of the year, both for their individual conferences and for their national award, and my submission was Cam Cannarello. Has he had the start of the season? I know it was kind of a slow start. Offense, that happens sometimes in college baseball. Do you think Cam Cannarello is a guy we could see as a finalist for the Player of the Year awards nationally at the end of the season?
Yeah, I mean, he has to get a little bit more of a consistent groove, but I mean, we've already seen big moments this year, and that's the thing Eric Backich always says about Cam Cannarello, that he's just a guy with a slow heartbeat. In the biggest moments, he has the biggest hits, and obviously, again, yesterday against Davidson, the 3-run homer he had, just such an effortless swing, goes opposite field, put Clemson ahead with a 3-run homer. We also saw it in the South Carolina series where he had that one RBI and then, you know, ends up going all the way from second to home on basically a swinging bunt. And so, yeah, he's a guy we've seen it at moments. The average isn't over 300 yet, or at least it wasn't the point in time in the game I was looking yesterday, maybe getting there. But, you know, more consistency. It'll be interesting to see also if he starts to steal more bases the more he's on base, because that's the thing they kind of limited last year with his shoulder issue. So there's still more to see there. But, yeah, I absolutely like the possibility of him potentially being in that discussion because he's got the swing, he's got the speed, he's got all the intangibles. Just a competitor, so absolutely could be just kind of getting in that groove still.
John Blau covers the Clemson Tiger Athletic Department for the Post and Courier. He is kind enough to join us every Monday at 8:40 to check in on all things Tiger Athletics. John, my man, great to talk to you, buddy, as always. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week, pal.
Sounds good. Thanks, Rob.
You got it. John Blau for the Post and Courier. Appreciate his time as always. I also appreciate, as you all should, because you are lucky, you are blessed, you are fortunate to be graced with the subtle and dulcet tones of Alonzo Sports Flash.
Wow. Wow. Obviously, I'm on vacation in 2 days. My bad. The South Carolina Gamecocks are once again SEC Conference champions in women's basketball after knocking off Texas in the championship game 64-45. Chloe Kitts put up 15 points with 9 rebounds, and Tessa Johnson added 14 off the bench. The Gamecocks shot 42% but kept Texas to a tournament low 29% from the field and just 1 of 8 from deep. It's the third consecutive conference tournament championship win for the Gamecocks. Gamecocks baseball team swept Morehead State in 3 games over the weekend with a 1-0 win, capping off the run yesterday. The Gamecocks threw 4 pitchers, each of whom gave up 1 hit, with Jackson Soucy earning the win. Make sure you tune in tonight at 6:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Wofford Terriers in the SoCon Basketball Championship game. It's Furman versus Wofford, right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan, Upstate.